The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Now when Jesus heard about the beheading of John the Baptist, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but five loaves and two fish." And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the five loaves and two fish, he looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm hungry. How many of you as parents have heard that from your children? I'm hungry. What's there to eat? What's for supper? Or maybe you've said it yourself. Maybe you have been hungry before. Maybe you've been out doing something, working, entertainment, traveling, whatever, and you didn't have a chance to stop and eat a meal, and so you missed one, and you became very hungry. Or maybe you've had to fast because of a medical procedure that was coming up, and you couldn't eat anything for 24 hours. Or maybe you just had a medical procedure, and you just can't eat because of the procedure. Or maybe there's just simply no food. I'm hungry. As our gospel lesson opens up this morning, Jesus himself is hungry. Not hungry for physical food, but he's hungry for a time that he can spend with God his Father. He had just received word that John, the one who was his relative, the one who had baptized him, the one who was the forerunner, who proclaimed that the Messiah was coming, John was beheaded. And Jesus had just received that news. And Jesus needed time alone in a deserted place to pray, to contemplate these things, to meditate, and just to grieve. Don't know what exactly was going through Jesus' mind at this time, but he knew the will of God the Father. And he could see that if John, this good person, this prophet would be killed, and Jesus would follow the will of the Father, he could understand what was in store for him. And he needed time to think and to pray and to grieve. And so he headed off to a deserted place. But when he got to that deserted place, it wasn't deserted anymore. There were crowds, huge crowds. The Bible says 5,000 men, but then besides women and children. So that crowd could have been 10,000, could have been 12,000, could have been 15,000 people there on this deserted seashore. Jesus had plans. He had plans for a quiet spot, and those plans had been interrupted. I think sometimes our best ministry happens in the midst of interruptions. And it's those interruptions a lot of times are the things that we remember of life. That some of the most important things happen in the interruptions. that if we stop and we take time, our plans are shot. So we take time for those interruptions and we deal with those interruptions. And as we do, a lot of times we touch the lives of other people as we stop to help them. When Jesus saw these crowds, it says he had compassion for them. His plans were put off. And actually later after this story then, as this story continues, Jesus still had time to go to a quiet place and to pray to his Father. But in the meantime, Jesus takes care of the crowds. When Jesus came in contact with crowds, usually he did several things. He would preach and he would teach, and then he would also heal them. Here in our gospel lesson, it says that he spent all day healing the people. And I'm sure that it wasn't just physical ailments. I'm sure many people did have physical ailments, whether it was maybe broken limbs that didn't heal right, maybe it was blindness, maybe it was being lame, maybe it was birth defects, maybe it was leprosy. But I think what goes along with physical healing is the spiritual healing. Because many people are hurt and sick and need help spiritually. We live in a world that tears each other up through violence, through words, through just a mean spirit a lot of times, and we get hurt. We get hurt and we are in need of healing. And we are also in need of forgiveness. And God fills that hunger within us. I think all of us have a hunger for God. We have a hunger for the Word of God. As these crowds saw Jesus and where he was going, they came to meet him. They came to hear that word of God. And I can just imagine how that happened, where one person heard or saw or paid attention to where Jesus was going and starts coming around the seashore, and other people ask, "Where are you going?" And that person says, "Jesus is going to be on the seashore." And soon they start to come, and the crowd just grows and grows and grows until it's a huge crowd here. They're all hungering to hear that word of God. They're hungering for that need to be healed. They're hungering for Jesus. In the creation story, it says that God created us in his image. And I think a part of that then is that connection with God. Is that we know that there is God. Deep down within us, we know that there is a God. And for us who are Christians, who we are called into worship, and we know that hunger, and we have that need to come to worship, to be fed with the word and also to be fed with the sacraments. We have that need and we're aware of that need, and we are in the right place to be fed. But for many people who do not believe in God, or for many of those people who believe in false gods, there is still that need, that hunger within them. I think everyone has that hunger. We are created in the image of God. And then also through the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is constantly working on each and every one of us, calling us into worship, calling us so that we are able to hear that word of God, and calling us so that we may be fed with the sacraments. Every one of us is being called. We have that hunger, that need. And this crowd, as it just continued to grow and build, it had that hunger. Jesus had compassion for them. He stopped what he wanted to do and healed them. He cured them. He spoke to them through words, through actions. He brought that kingdom of God to these people. He fed these people and filled their needs. Towards the end of the day, the disciples were starting to get worried. Can you imagine the sound that would be made from 15,000 people whose stomachs are growling? I don't know about you, but when I get hungry, I get cranky. And the disciples were starting to get worried. It was starting to get to the end of the day. They had had no food. Jesus had been working all day. The disciples had probably been helping. The disciples, I'm sure, were getting kind of cranky too because they didn't have any food either. And so they were concerned about this crowd. It could get ugly. And so they approached Jesus and say, "Hey, we need to wrap this up here pretty quick. People are getting hungry. Send them away so that they can go home or they can go into the towns and villages and buy food." Jesus' reply, I'm sure, shocked them. Jesus says, they don't need to go away. You feed them. I can imagine that shock that the disciples had. What? How are we going to feed all of these people? We barely brought enough food for ourselves. How are we going to feed all these people? But again, the physical is tied to the spiritual. I don't think Jesus was talking about only feeding them with physical food. I think he was also telling them to feed them with spiritual food. Maybe they caught that. Maybe that was part of their shock. I've seen that shock on people's faces when they're asked to feed people spiritually. If they're asked to be on council or to teach a Sunday school class, there's that shock to their eyes. Who, me? Am I supposed to do that? Or to sing in the choir? I don't have those skills. Or to lead some other ministry. Or to initiate a new ministry. There's that shock. What? Me? Do it? But if you remember, at the end of Matthew's gospel is the Great Commission. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We are called to feed the other people. We are called to feed each other. Or at the end of John's gospel, after the resurrection, when Jesus catches up with them again on the shore of Galilee. And he takes Peter aside and he says, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Jesus calls us to feed one another. And not just physical food, but also spiritual food. Because these two are tied together. And even more so, they're tied together because this is the God that we have. God doesn't just sit up on a high throne somewhere, but he sent his Son to be right there in the midst of us. Jesus didn't come just telling people what to do or how to do it. Rather, Jesus came and ministered among the people. He taught them in such a way that they actually learned. He spoke to them in a way that touched their lives. He actually cured them. In any way, on any level, he was able to cure them. Our God came down to this earth, came down to be physical with us. It is tied. It is connected. God is tied in this world, along, right along with us. And so Jesus tells them, you feed them. And so the disciples come up with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And Jesus says, it is enough. It is enough. How often have we said, it is enough? Maybe after a huge meal and we're stuffed and we can't put another thing in our mouths? Maybe we've said, it's enough. I've heard in this world that we produce enough food in the world, enough food is produced in the world to feed everyone in the world. There should be no reason why people go hungry, why they do not have a food. But there are reasons. People do go hungry. One of the reasons is simply a matter of distribution. The hungry people are not where the food is. Sometimes food is used as a weapon of war. A government will withhold food products to that part of the population that it is fighting or that it disagrees with so that they become hungry and weak or so that they move away so that they become refugees. Another reason why people go hungry is simply because other people are hoarding the food. Some people have more food than they need and they hoard it. They keep it for themselves. It is not shared. It is not distributed. It does not go to those who are hungry. There is enough food in this world right now to feed everybody who is in this world right now. Jesus takes those loaves. He says, it is enough. He takes those loaves and that fish. He lifts it to heaven. He takes it. He blesses it. He breaks it.
and he gives it to his disciples, saying, go and feed everybody else. Go and distribute the food. And so the disciples go and they distribute the food. And when they come back, there's 12 baskets full. There's more food there than when they started. And still this huge crowd ate their fill. They had enough. And there was more left over. And that is a true miracle of God. And certainly God can do this. The God who created the heavens and the earth, who made us and everything in it. Certainly, God could create enough food to feed this crowd of people. But maybe there's even more going on than that. Maybe these people actually heard what Jesus said. Maybe Jesus touched their lives in a way that they did understand and comprehend what Jesus was saying and doing and healing them. And that as these baskets were being passed by, those who were hungry were able to take some food out for themselves. But maybe other people brought some extra food along with them and they realized, hey, there's other people here who are hungry. I'll put my extra food back into the basket. And so everybody had their fill. And that is also a true miracle, that that food was shared and that there was plenty left over and everyone was filled. God feeds us. Jesus feeds us through his word. And then also too, in a few moments, we will be celebrating Holy Communion. We too will be eating our fill. We will be eating physically. We will have the bread and we will drink the wine. But not only that, and even more important than that, is the spiritual food that we too will be eating. Because Christ is in that meal. This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ that has been shed for us. And in that meal, we are filled. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. We are filled with knowing that we have been forgiven. We are filled with hope, knowing that even though we too are hurting, that we are hungry, God will still heal us, he will help us, and he gives us that promise of eternal life. This gospel story started out with a foreshadowing of Jesus' ministry and what will happen to him, with John the Baptist being beheaded, a foreshadowing of Jesus' own sacrifice on the cross. The story concludes with a foreshadowing of what is still yet to come to us, that we will eat and that we will be satisfied. We will be filled. We take Holy Communion this morning, knowing that it is a foretaste of what is still yet to come, that we will eventually join the feast, which has no ending, a feast where we will never say, I'm hungry. Amen.